Let's do this. Yeah, we're recording.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 31 of How Married Are You? Hey, guys.
Hey. What's up, y'all? Welcome back. We have been missing for a week.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not.
Oh,
okay. We were having a rough week, so.
We or me?
We.
You were having both. A rough week?
Yeah, we weren't getting along.
We weren't getting along?
Uh-uh. Oh. You would have to concur with that, right?
I was depressed.
Yeah.
I didn't know we weren't getting along.
Okay.
We weren't talking.
We weren't talking.
But I didn't know that we were in a fight.
We weren't in a fight. You just were like, you were low. And I was not there with you. And that's all that was.
Okay.
So, let's go ahead.
Chocolate baby story time. Let's brighten it up a little bit here.
Okay. Okay. So, what happened to me on chocolate baby story time? Wednesday, you left me with the kids, mm-hmm. as usual. Mm-hmm. I went live and we were hanging out and having a good time. And the kids were just actually... I was annoyed, pretty annoyed. And if you see our live video from last week on Belief in Fatherhood, every Wednesday I'm in town, we go live at around 10:30. And so we were live and the kids were getting on my nerves. They were like, we want to fight. And so I got these dart guns, these dart zone guns. And I was like messing around with the kids and I just shoot them all day. They want to fight. They want to play fight, but it's as fun to me as it is to them,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoy that. And so cool thing is I posted a little video on Instagram and the people reached out to me from Dart Zone. They were like, yo, we love to send you some more of these. So best believe I will be going live on Instagram shooting the kids and having like a dad Call of Duty type situation. So make sure you guys follow me on Instagram, Belief Mel. What's your chocolate baby story time, babe?
It's not as exciting as yours.
Okay.
Basically, tonight I was, you know, the kids were brushing their teeth before bed and Theo was brushing his teeth, but it was taking him super long and I actually didn't hear like a toothbrush rubbing against a toothbrush rubbing against teeth. And so I was like, Theo, what's going on there? And he goes, Mom, my tooth is stuck. And I'm like, what? So I walk over to the bathroom and his tooth is stuck because he had a loose tooth, but the tooth was like turned sideways behind the tooth it was next
to. Dang, that is gross.
And the thing is, I've been telling Theo for a long time, I've been like, Theo, this tooth is ready to go. Like, it's hanging on literally by, what are the things in our mouth? I know they're gums, but like a tendon.
I don't think it's a tendon or nerve, actually. I think it's just a piece of flesh.
Yeah. And I've been telling him all week, Theo, just pull it. And I didn't want to pull it because I didn't want to traumatize him. He, like, every time he loses a tooth, man, it's the cutest thing. But anyways, I'll go into that later. But anyways, so he keeps going and I'm like, Theo, can I just look? I promise I'm not going to like pull it because I could tell he was getting a little bit nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, just open your mouth. Let me see what's going on in there. And I was like, Theo, buddy, you got to get that. Like, there's just no way you can keep living this way.
Yeah.
And so he reaches in and he just grabs it.
Pulls it out. It came out
very easily. Like, yeah. I've been telling him it's going to be doing. But then, babe, he just looked at me like with the biggest smile and was just like, I'm growing up. And his eyes, you know how his eyes brighten up and his eyebrows go up there. He was like, I'm growing up. I'm getting older, Mom.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, buddy, you are. And my mom and dad were here, so he really wanted to go. Tell them, but I was like, just wait a little bit.
Yeah, that's super cute. And it seems less traumatizing than when, I remember when I started losing teeth, it hurt and I made a way bigger deal out of it than it seems like he's making.
And you want to know something too, I think, because you know there's a whole tooth fairy thing,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the benefits
that's right.
What I'm about to go into, I think one of the benefits of homeschooling is that we don't have to live up to all that hype. Like, I know he goes to like the Enrichment Academy once a week, but I don't think he tells people I lost a tooth, or he might tell people this week, but you know what I mean? Like, he's not like, okay, we have to put it under the pillow and then the tooth fairy is going to come and give us some money. Give me some money.
Can we just talk about how crazy, like, these, like, fictional characters are? Santa Claus, you meet him at the mall. You sit on his lap, a total stranger, white dude. Just sit on my lap. Mm-hmm. Tell me all the things you want. And then I'm going to B&E. I'm going to break into your house and put the things in there. Tooth fairy. I'm going to fly through your window and unlock the door that you know you locked and everything's safe. But I'm allowed to come in there and I'm going to snatch your tooth because I collect the decayed bones from children. And I'm going to put a quarter underneath or a dollar. I just want everyone to sit with how, like, crazy those fictional characters are and how we should not do that to our children. But to each his own. If you want to traumatize your children by letting
babe, don't do that. Don't people fictional, if you want, it's not traumatizing your children.
Fictional white people coming into your goodness. House.
Okay, let's stop now.
All right.
I love white people, but I'm just saying. Oh my gosh.
I just want to say I love white people, but these fictional characters gotta stop.
This got awkward real fast.
All right.
I was just trying to say I'm glad I don't have to contend with that.
Right.
And I hope I never do.
Okay.
Because, you know, like when kids start to find out, oh, mom, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be getting $5 a tooth.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah. I don't, yeah. Like, that's them La Jolla kids. Nah, we over here. We in a whole different city.
Yeah, anyway.
So that's Chocolate Baby Storytime. Let's get into these words of affirmation.
Wait, I have something to say. I always have something to say.
Go ahead.
Now. Okay, I even typed it up so I could just read it real quick.
Oh, you about to talk about words of affirmation?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I got to put on the music. Ready?
Oh. Am I talking now?
Yep, go ahead.
Thank you so much for continuing to send in your words of affirmation. We love hearing your voices via voicemails in the Anchor app and DMs on Instagram. But if you are someone who just isn't about hearing your voice, we totally understand. Words of affirmation can be just as beautiful typed out in the review section of whatever podcast app you're using to listen to us on. Please also leave a 5-star rating as well as some written reviews to help others find our podcast and listen in on the conversations we get to have. And finally, if words of affirmation is not your love language and gifts is more your love language,
hey,
we have been very grateful to those of you who have been contributing to the podcast via PayPal.
PayPal, the collection plate of the podcast.
We made our first purchase. Unfortunately, we can't show it here right now.
But next week, maybe
y'all,
2 weeks.
In a couple of weeks. You will get to see the fruits of your gifts.
Yes.
And we are so grateful to you. I am especially grateful.
She's grateful because it doesn't benefit me in the least bit.
Not yet.
We're not going to tell them what we're going to get?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you. Guess what, y'all? We got a new chair.
On the way.
I don't know. Like, that's probably not a big deal to y'all. But for me, being almost as pregnant as I am and sitting in these chairs and then let me make some noise real quick. I gotta be really still because this chair is like super squeaky. I'm really excited to be comfortable.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. We appreciate the words of affirmation and we're gonna go ahead and hop into those words of affirmation right now.
Hey, Belief and Yvette. I just wanted to send a word of affirmation for your podcast. I want to let you know that as a single individual, you guys really give me hope for marriage and also just vision for my future family. As a single person, you kind of like, you know, think about, okay, how my marriage is going to be, but... Freak, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beach, y'all, and you don't stop. A freak, freak, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beach, y'all, and you don't stop. A freak, freak. Sometimes you forget to set vision on the legacy you want to leave for your children and your children's children. So I just want to thank you guys for being so bold and transparent in every podcast. And I love your podcast. I'm tuning in from the DMV area. So thank you guys again for your podcast. I love it so much.
Yo, thank you so much, Kimberly, for those words of affirmation. Kimberly talks to us all the time on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She blesses us a lot. So she blesses us a lot with words, all types of words of affirmation, always commenting on the kids, always telling us what's going on with her life. And I appreciate it. And shout out to the DMV area. I am from the DMV area.
Shout out to the United States of America. I think this is the first words of affirmation we've had in a while from.
Yeah, the U.S. American. U.S. Yeah, shout out to the U.S. But specifically the DMV, because the DMV is a whole different country, it feels like, honestly. You know what I'm saying? People are just different from there. Yeah,
took away from my whole comment.
I mean, they're from a different place, mindset, whatever. But I'm very happy to be here. Let's go ahead and knock out the next section. I wanted to kind of comment on something and say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you tell people how they can give?
I did not.
The PayPal situation because of the new chair we're getting?
PayPal.me/HMAY podcast.
Okay. Cool.
And I will always have it in the
show notes in the description on YouTube. And shout out to all our YouTube subscribers. I think we're at about 1,800 or 1,700 people.
Are we? Yeah, I haven't even really looked.
Who are following us on YouTube. You guys can also follow us on Instagram. It's the best way to keep in touch with us at HMAY Podcast. How married are you? We appreciate your existence. And we're going to hop into this topic today, which is really cool. I was listening to my new favorite podcast, Righteous and Ratchet, with Kev on Stage and Doughboy. And it was, I think it was a few weeks ago, but the podcast, and I'm actually a Patreon supporter of them. So if you support them on Patreon, shout out to you. If you support us on Patreon, shout out to you so much.
Thank you.
We need you very much. But and they said one quote, and I thought the quote was amazing. How many people we have, eh?
It was like too shy of 1,800.
Okay, cool. So
let's share with everybody so we can get to 2,000 by.
But only share with people who are going to be engaged. We have really good engagement on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so the quote was.
I don't think you have the quote, but I think you have a summation of the quote.
Yeah. So the quote was.
You can't say quote if it's a summation.
I'm paraphrasing the quote. Behind every powerful, great, successful man, you will find a woman, right? Like a strong woman. But you can find a powerful, great, or successful woman standing alone.
Yes. That's the gist of what it was saying.
And there,
I didn't hear it, but yeah.
And there's a lot of information that supports what we're saying. I mean, kind of. I had an argument with my brother about this when he was in town. About like, I think we talked about it before in another episode where it was like, okay, in order to like reasons why it's good to get married. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the things for men is that you would actually be, more successful or something because you're with a woman or something like that. Right. Mm. Because you're married.
Mm.
Right. Like some of the most, you know, respected men are married in history. And so I kind of wanted to talk about this because it was something that I actually believe, and I was kind of appalled, and I couldn't even think of a lot of great men who weren't married.
Yeah, we sat there for a while trying to think of great men who did not have a woman behind them.
Right.
And we couldn't think of very many. Did we think of any?
Yeah, there was a few.
Do you remember?
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather.
Oh.
So so we're talking.
So the thing is too, like, how are you defining great man? Because is he a great man or is he a great athlete?
He's a great athlete who happens to be incredibly rich and successful. But I don't know if he's great. I wouldn't call him like this, like men want to be him great. You know what I'm saying? Like, we admire you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I admire Floyd Mayweather as far as character is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I do admire his hard work, his work ethic. Mm-hmm. I think he's incredibly talented. But as far as like for manhood, I wouldn't say he's like the standard of a man at all.
Yeah. But, so who are the type of men that you would think of like that?
All right. So we're talking about extreme vulnerability here, and I'm okay with my masculinity so I can say these things. We're talking about men like Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who just looks sharp and everything. He's just got this charisma about him.
We all know I love me some Michelle.
Yeah. And we're also talking about men like Will Smith, who's incredibly talented. You know what I mean? Like charming, like, and just like.
But is there a Will without Jada?
Is there a Will without Jada? Mm. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Even the vulnerability and the transparency that they shared on the Red Table Talk would make you believe that he's better because of Jada.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And if you haven't watched that, we'll link it below too. Yeah.
So also men like, I would even say, like, if you look at like Puff Daddy, right? P. Diddy, right? Extremely successful. You know, he's not married, but Kim Porter, who was his wife who passed away, was his ex-wife who passed away. She was the rock in his life for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question, there's plenty of other, I'm trying to think who else, what other men out there are like.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington would be nothing without his wife. What's her name?
I don't know her name.
Russell Simmons had Kimora Simmons.
Kirk Franklin
and his wife.
Yeah.
I
was just thinking of somebody. Okay, are we saying only black people?
We're not saying only black people. But Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
He had a wife. I don't know.
I'm trying to help prove the point.
Yeah. Steve Jobs. I actually know a lot. Like, okay, so Mark Cuban, I don't know if he's married. Can you let's look that up real quick. Mark Cuban is married.
He's the guy from Shark Tank.
No, he's actually the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. That's what he's like.
But he's also on Shark Tank. That's what I know him from.
Yeah, but that's
okay.
Okay, Mark Cuban is married.
Okay.
Who else? I'm trying to think of other men who are great men.
Bill Gates,
yeah, for sure. He's married.
Ronald McDonald.
What? You can see it's not so much to say every successful man needs a woman. The point is that you see a lot of successful, great women standing alone.
Like Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah.
So we all know Oprah has Stedman, but does Oprah need Stedman?
Heck no.
Like, and Stedman, you know what?
Is for Oprah's entertainment.
Ooh, now.
that's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I was going to say this because I actually had like one. I used to
teach. You met him.
I taught at a school before and he came and spoke and he kind of like tried to be like, you know, I know everyone knows me as Oprah's whatever. So let's get that out of the way. But I do wonder if there is something about him that helps her be who she is.
I said, what does Stead? And Google said, what does Stedman do? Because don't nobody know what he do. He's an American educator, author, businessman, speaker, and podcaster, probably known as a longtime partner of media mogul Oprah Winfrey.
That's unfortunate.
Graham and Winfrey were engaged to be married in November 1992, but later decided that they were rather have a spiritual union.
I mean, their relationship has lasted a long time, but
way to curve him, Oprah. Way to curve him.
But he'd be an idiot not to stay around.
I mean, but is he even like in that, you know how it's like, oh, basically by law we're together because we've been living together.
You know what? Oprah probably didn't want to marry him because she didn't want to have to die and leave her money to him.
She could have. I would have signed that prenup. Prenup.
I'm just speculating, but thinking about all that she's done and built, she's probably like, wait a minute, I have too much of a legacy for me.
So shout out to Stedman Graham. I mean, we never know. I mean,
yeah, he probably could be, but
his niece might be listening to this podcast right now. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, all we're saying
is Maya Angelou.
Cicely Tyson,
Tracy Ellis Ross,
and can we just say,
okay, now you better watch yourself.
Wait a minute, because I just want to say,
okay,
keep going.
I'm done. I don't want to mention that one.
Okay, like you see powerful, strong women standing alone, and I just feel like I know that I would not be who I am at all without you. Like, not even, not even like not half, not even half of the man I am without you.
You don't think so?
Not even half. Now, I think there is a talent or ability to like listen and understand. Like, the more open I am to hearing your voice and listening to you and caring about the things you care about and letting you kind of be the spiritual guidance, kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely believe I receive more out of our relationship than just if I was just with you. You know what I'm saying? And we were just together and I was like, yeah, that's my wife. But it's like, because we are so united, there's I get much more benefit, right? But think about, like, if we weren't together, there would be no belief in fatherhood. I wouldn't be a father. I wouldn't have those
that
kids.
I was going to say, it doesn't necessarily mean you wouldn't be a father.
I mean,
you don't know.
I probably would be a father. But I mean, it's just so much. It's so many different things that, like, because of our union, that I'm not saying that I'm like a great, successful man, but I believe that there's greatness inside of me. And I feel like you shine the light on that greatness. You know what I'm saying? And without you, there really is no great, there's no potential of greatness. I mean, I feel like there's possible, like, I feel like people have come up to me and say, the Lord has something for you, something inside of you. And I'm like, well, what is it? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, would it come out, please? Well, somebody, you know, because literally it's like I was rapping and that was all I was doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no vision, no plan, no nothing, you know? And sometimes, like, listening to the friends I have, it was I'm like, yo, that's cool. Like, I understand, but I have to make different income. I have to do things with deep purpose. Like, I know that I am where I'm supposed to be. And so I believe that's because of our relationship. I don't think there's a lot of, so what I'm saying is as a word of advice for men, like, there's a plus side to you being with, you know, having a spouse. There's that goes way deeper than sexual satisfaction. That goes way deeper than, you know what I'm saying? Like a companion or just someone to love on. But there's a level of worth that you actually value yourself more because you're held to a different standard. With women, I feel like they are like, they have so much potential to be great on their own. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's like, I just see so many women just doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you're actually in my way.
Do you think it's because for so long we've had, like, we may have felt like we've had something to prove?
I think you guys are already doing it anyway. Like, the impossible is raising three kids. Like, it's impossible. Like, it feels impossible, you know? Like, even, like, you know, with the two, like, I was like, oh, this ain't right. You know what I'm saying? With me and Theo and Uriah, I was like, yeah, this is cool, but this ain't gonna last long because I can't do this, you know? But imagine if I still feel like you would be okay. Like, if I decided right now, I'm not gonna listen to anything you're saying. I'm just gonna make the money. I need you to take care of the kids. Like, you would go through a season of being like, yo, no. I need you to do this and this and this and this. But I feel like you would figure it out, even though it would be bitterness there.
Yeah, we just always figure it out.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Like, women always figure it out.
Yeah.
Men are like, oh, I'm going to kill myself. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we often.
Be careful. No, I don't know if that's a.
No, statistically, men are much likely, more likely to commit suicide.
Really?
Yeah.
So I was actually going to bring up, like, don't take our word for it as far as marriage being a benefit for men. This study is from 2008, but I don't imagine that it would be too much different. But it says that married men earn between 10 and 40% more than otherwise comparable single men. Like they said, if you've never married, if you're a man who's never married, your median wealth is $36,000. If you're a man in your first marriage, your median wealth is $167,719. And if you are a married and divorced man, your median wealth is $48,528. And so, I mean, that's just speaking about money. They also go into happiness and stuff. But that's a significant difference.
Heck yeah.
That's more than three times. Like, if you've never married, that the wealth is more than three times the thing. And I know some people are probably on here thinking, well, of course you have to make more money if you have a family and children to take care of. But that's like the man's salary, not including the wife. And these were both men married with children and without children. So just putting that out there. They also said, I mean, I don't know if this is necessary to share, but they said married men find sex more emotionally and physically pleasurable than unmarried, than their unmarried peers. And they said that married men typically enjoy better physical and mental health than their single peers. They asked people about their happiness, and 20% of single men said they were very happy. I mean, they asked men in the age group from 20 to 39 about whether or not they were happy in life. 20% of the men surveyed who were single said yes. 43% of the men who were married said yes, they are very happy. And 21% of the men who were cohabitating with someone said that they were very happy. So if you look at those statistics, married men are happier than unmarried men or cohabitating men.
Now, listen to this. I'm going to just share the statistic. I think I'm reading this graph right. Total suicides in the United States, 1981 versus 2016. Okay. In 1981, there were, let's say, 7,500 women committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Right. In 1981, there were 22,000.
It's men. More like 21,000.
21,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. 21,000. In 2016, the rates have went up. Women, 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016. In men, what would you say? 35,000?
35,000. Dude, that's crazy.
It's insane. And the thing is, like, women handle pressure better than men. They handle pain better than men. They handle heartbreak, emotional, like, stress, like everything. Like, you guys handle it better than men do. And I don't know what, I don't know why, but I know that a lot of women will be okay. Like, if you watch a man and a woman go through a breakup, day one, they broke up, right?
Mm-hmm.
She is heartbroken. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh my gosh, this is the end of me. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I love him so much. Day one for him, man, glad I dodged that, or I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be fine. We're going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be cool. 2 days later.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking about this. And I'm like, yeah.
Is distraught, stressed out, and like, wait a minute, what was I doing on a Thursday night by myself? Yeah. On that same 2 days later, she's got a tribe around her who she's emotionally available to, who she's receiving counsel from. Girl, you're going to be all right. We're going to go out.
That is it right there. Tribe in talk. A nutshell.
We're talking about tribes right now.
Because, like, the other day I got irritated with Glenn because he was telling me about something he said to someone about how he's not in community. And I'm like, we are in community. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, wait a minute. I guess I am in more community than he is. Yeah. Like, we are in community, but I am constantly calling, texting, talking to my girlfriends and trying to process through everything that's going in my head, on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes like even have to stop myself because I'm like, I need to go seek the Lord before I go seek like whatever my girlfriends are asking me about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you guys as men are just in your head too much.
Yeah.
And you guys don't like to process. I'm generalizing. You guys don't like to process with other people what exactly it is that you are dealing with.
Well, this is like a whole like stigma that men are emotionally unavailable. We don't, mm-hmm. we're not transparent. We're not talking. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, the suicide rate alone, like, yeah, tells you the result of that.
So
now,
and we will be the ones that'll go listen to podcasts or
read a book,
self-help books,
or just go get some time alone, or just go to the nail shop. Like that whole time at the nail shop.
What's the whole thing? Hashtag self-love.
Self-love. Like,
yeah.
Right. And so like when we party or do things, it often like endangers us. Like, yo, let's go drink, let's go, dude, to the bar, let's do this.
That is like, yeah.
And so now I'm telling you this, now I'm a part of a different section of men, like a different group of men. I feel like my friends are different, where we do talk about a lot of the things that are on our hearts and on our minds. Now, not that's all of true. Us.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just saying for me specifically, mm-hmm. because I've been doing this for 14 years, like in community on purpose, you know, mm-hmm. there were a lot of like side effects that were like, oh yeah, this is also business beneficial, you know, like, this is good for business too. But there were a lot of like, yo, I'm going to be in community, I'm going to talk about my feelings, I'm going to talk about my lust issues, I'm going to talk about my pride, I'm going to talk about the things I need to do with my family, I'm going to dream. Like, it's a lot of that stuff that's happening in my local community. Mm-hmm. However, I do feel that men just in general, mm-hmm. lack a lot of that. And so when you add a woman beside him, right, or behind him, or wherever she stands, he's able to unload and have that community that she has learned her whole life.
Yes.
Right.
And she is able to encourage him to move toward like a lot of times we will seek out help for you so that we can come back and provide you feedback. Like, for example, like if you're dealing with something, a lot of times I will like be like, Lord, I just need you to give me a word, or just like show me how to love him through this or help him through this or whatever. Or sometimes I'll go talk to another person who's older and be like, have you dealt with this yet before in your marriage? Can you
my husband broke. Can you fix him real quick?
Can you tell me how to, like, you know, whatever. But that is so interesting. I actually listened to, so the gentleman who used to edit the podcast for us, his wife, Abby, she shared with me, they do this thing. It's like a marriage staycation thing.
Shout out to Donald Gadsden Jr. and Abby Gadsden.
They do this thing. They call it the Lugato. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm probably butchering it. But they do a staycation where it's three couples, and they basically like don't have any children. It's just the three of them, three couples, and they stay together for 24 hours. And during this 24 hours, they do things for the betterment of their marriages. They unload on each other. They encourage each other. I think they even do some studying together. It's biblically based, like, you know, whatever they're doing in their time. Well, she shared with me their last, the one of the women in the group, Desiree Ofori, I'm so sorry if I'm saying the name wrong. She has a podcast called Sincerely Mrs. Mommy. And Abby directed me to the podcast regarding this whole thing. And in the podcast, Abby started talking about something that has actually really stuck with me. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And I wish I actually would like to go and do a study on it myself. But her conversation was based off of the scripture, Proverbs 12:4, which says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. And she focused on the aspect of a woman being her husband's crown. And I actually took a couple of quotes from what she said. But before I get into that, think about when someone's wearing a crown and the posture that they have to take when they have that crown on. And if you envision yourself as like your husband's crown, he can't, like, if he bends his head a certain way or whatever, it kind of, it'll fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, when we're placed on his head, we kind of command a posture for him.
For greatness.
For greatness. Authority, for, yeah. And so Some of the things that she said, a crown does not consider whose head it sits on. It does not consider if the wearer of the crown is worthy of its shine and beauty. A crown does not diminish itself to make the wearer feel more comfortable or more adequate. And I was like, dang, that's really good, because it's like a crown is a crown is a crown. Mm. Whenever you see a crown, you think of it as something that's beautiful and shiny and bright and majestic and solid. And when you were talking earlier about, dang it, you said something. Women.
Yeah.
You said.
Like the fact, like, okay, so first of all, I want to say that, like, we're not saying that a woman is just a crown.
Yeah.
And a man is a man.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to say, baby girl, you are a crown.
Yeah.
And whether that crown is on someone's head or sitting in a mantle, you are a crown. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an, like, but in order for me to be a king, like, I need a crown. Mm. And it changes who I am.
Right? You walk with a different type of authority.
I walk with a different type of authority. I am called to a certain purpose. I'm called to a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
I act different. I walk different. I know who I am, mm-hmm. because I know what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that is, like, of course you're going to see a crown sitting alone.
Yeah. But you said something about, I was thinking when you were saying it, something that I was thinking about is like the material that a crown is made from. Like when you mold it, I don't actually know this. I really should probably go do some research, but I feel like it's not something that you can just easily break or bend. I guess it just depends on what kind of crown. But when I think of a king's crown, I don't think of it as being something that is flimsy.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So it's
or
like,
delicate.
So for
something very sturdy and strong.
Right. And so like for me, like it like kind of checked me, because I'm like, dang, like I'm cheap, like real cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how much it costs? Who we know that worked there? I can't afford it. I'm gonna work hard to get it.
You don't be trying to get hookups.
I don't be trying to get hookups, but I do think, like, man, how much it costs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is like, how much it costs again? But I should want to dress my crown in jewels.
But here's the thing, she went on to say.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I might burst your bubble a little bit.
Cool.
But she goes, the crown understands its relationship with the jeweler and knows that the jeweler and the king are two different people.
Mm.
The crown does not get fixed, repaired, made whole by the king. It gets fixed by the jeweler, buffed, corrected, and jewels replaced. A king does not possess the knowledge or the skill to be a jeweler.
So you don't need that wedding ring.
I do need my wedding ring.
That's what we're talking about right there. That wedding ring gone.
No.
You don't need it. That's what we're talking about.
No, silly. I want it.
Yvette, if you just tuned into the podcast a couple of episodes ago, Yvette told everyone that she lost her wedding ring.
I don't really think it's fair to say that I lost it. I think Anaya stole it.
Okay. Well, under your possession, it was taken.
I'm pretty sure Anaya is gone. Responsible for its loss.
Yeah. And so where do we stand on this with this whole crown jewel thing? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I really do want to go do a deeper study for myself in it, because I think it's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we as women, and I can speak for myself especially, I think this past week actually I've been dealing with the fact that I don't see myself as I am. I don't know if that makes sense, but
break it down.
I discredit myself way too much as far as like the power that I possess or the authority that I possess in Jesus' name. Like, I feel like I diminish or like belittle who I am. And if I were to see myself as a crown, then I might find more value in who I am and like take better care of who I am. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm more of a processor.
Yeah.
Via writing versus verbalizing. But yeah, I think it's really important for us to know our worth. And I don't think we as women do a great job at that. I think we adapt, adjust, and overcome because we have to. But sometimes we just don't give ourselves enough credit.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, I've watched, you know, my mom, like, just kind of overcome adversity. I watched my grandmother overcome adversity. Mm-hmm. I watched these women who have been through so much mm-hmm. and still here. And I think about it, it's like, man, like, I didn't deal with what you dealt with, but I was ready to be done early.
For real.
Because I could not take it. And so I don't mm-hmm. think men, a lot of men are really built like that. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And so women, like, are really just powerful alone. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you know, you honor your time and, you know, you serve your husband and love, respect and love your husband, like, I feel like, man, like, that's really the hookup for the husband. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And it yeah. also, you know, it helps you out too. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just such beauty in marriage that you just don't think about, like, the story that's being told, like, symbolically, you mm-hmm. know? But I don't know. I kind of stand in this place of, like, really, like, respecting everything that women are capable of, because I'm watching I think we're in, like, one of the greatest periods in time in history where women are standing up for what is not right. Mm-hmm. And they're coming together and they're realizing that they're powerful together mm-hmm. and they're accomplishing so much. And it's not going to be, you know, as like, wow, she did that. It's going to be like, of course she did. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. You know, you may find a great man, a successful man, a powerful man, but you always find a woman next to him, beside him. Usually. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there probably are some exemptions to that rule, but you will find a great, powerful, successful woman standing alone, you know, because she is a crown, whether she has
someone wearing her or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, babe. How married are you?
So married that I gave you a 30-minute back rub. You don't remember?
I remember the back rub. I just don't remember the 30 minutes.
I timed it.
You was
baby. I timed it because I was like, I said 30 minutes. But then you told me to stop it right at 30 minutes. You were mm-hmm. like, okay, babe, that's good.
Okay.
And so.
Man. I could have gone.
Yeah, because you usually get hour massages.
Yeah.
And so I think, honestly, and I didn't even ask for any, like,
it wasn't like a booty call.
It wasn't like a massage that leads to sex. It was just a straight up back rub.
Like they be sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, which is rare now because you're pregnant and so you can't really lay on your stomach. So it's kind of like.
I had to have the.
Yeah, it's not even like pillow. It's not even the only feel the same. I just feel like, you know what I'm saying?
All right, TMI.
But anyway, I did give that back rub and yeah, that's how married I am. How married are you, babe?
I'm so married that this morning, or was it yesterday morning? Some morning, some day, some afternoon, Glenn was chewing gum and I didn't say anything.
You complained the whole time.
Listen, can I talk? I'm not done with my story.
Go ahead.
I was not the first person to say anything. Uriah was like, "Dad, what are you eating?"
She don't like the way I chew gum. I chew gum all the time.
And I was like, "Oh, Raya, is it bothering you?" Mm-hmm. But I didn't say anything. I was gonna let you chew and just get out of the way real quick.
But you didn't. You kept complaining about it.
Raya was the one that brought it up, though. So I'm so married that I didn't bring it up first. I let my child do it.
Okay.
I didn't even know he was gonna do it. I just had to let him do it so that. But babe, can we just not chew gum? Can we do mints?
No. Sometimes I like chewing gum. It helps me stay awake.
Mm. In the middle of the day?
In the middle of the day when I'm tired.
Mm, okay.
All right.
And that's just how married we are.